Welcome, Harry, to the Love of Cinema podcast. Lovely to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me. Real pleasure.
Supernova is in cinemas now, and it feels like this film, like so many, was affected by the pandemic in that I think it had some festival screenings last year, and you know, like we've had to hang on a little bit to be able to play this movie in our cinemas. But wow, is this worth the wait? I think it's been on a lot of people's radars because, you know, it's got amazing reviews and a really great cast. But I think this film, it deserves to be in the cinema, and I think people will feel like, you know, I'm glad that the release was held off and we get to watch this together as a communal experience.
Yeah, thank you. I feel the same way. And you know, big shout out to Studio Canal for keeping the faith with the film, to be honest, because, you know, they very well might not have done it in another circumstance. I think we've been waiting a while to release it, and it feels really exciting to be able to show it, you know, as intended. And it's exciting to think that people feel comfortable and safe enough to get back into cinemas now. I think that's the most important thing, obviously. But yeah, a cinematic event is always what we intended for it. So I feel really, really privileged.
Has it been, because this film, obviously you finished the film a little while ago now, has it been hard to sort of move on to the next thing, knowing that Supernova isn't actually out yet? Like, it's, the story isn't quite finished with this one.
Yeah, it has, in a way, yeah. But also, it's felt quite difficult to sort of think about the future because of what's happened in the last 18 months. I think, you know, I think we've all just maybe been thinking a bit more about life and what's important rather than necessarily jumping on to another project. But yeah, certainly it helps when you have a bit of, you know, a bit of closure on a project to sort of open up another one, I think.
How have you been sort of just keeping entertained during this time? Like, if working is hard, have you thrown yourself into other activities like watching extra films or doing extra reading?
I've been doing a few things, really. I mean, to be honest, I've been working on the film pretty much constantly in one way or another for the whole of the last year, so there's been a lot of that happening. But I've been doing quite a lot of volunteering as well, so just, you know, doing some food bank work and stuff, and yeah, reading a lot and cooking a lot and seeing family more than I probably would have done before. So yeah, but also trying to watch as many films as possible and tune in to the next Netflix, whatever it is.
Going back, I guess, to the beginning of Supernova and the journey of this film, do you remember what prompted you to develop this into a movie? Because you also wrote the film as well as directed it.
Yeah, I sort of ended up, for various reasons, working for some dementia charities in London. And this is about 5 years ago. And through that, met a lot of people, naturally, who are living with this kind of dementia. And I just was really profoundly moved by those experiences and spending time with those people. And so the film is very much inspired by those experiences and that time spent with people living through it. So it's sort of, yeah, I mean, like all of these things, it's a very personal film. And it started from, you know, personal experiences when dementia sort of came into my life a bit. So that's how it started. Yeah. And it sort of snowballed into something that was the most important thing in my life, you know, for the period of time that we were doing it.
You've got a really great cast in the movie, Stanley Tucci, Colin Firth. How did you prepare with them? I'm sort of imagining you sending them off on a camper van road trip in their spare time.
That would have been fun. We never managed to do that, unfortunately, but I'm sure they would have been up for it. The film, yeah, I mean, the film comes off the back of like 3+ years of kind of research that I did, I guess. So they were very interested in immersing themselves in all of that. So I sort of put together a research pack, really, I suppose. And we went through that together and we talked a lot about dementia together and we talked a lot about, you know, end of life stuff together. And they went and met all of the doctors that I had been working with, specifically at UCL, at the Dementia Research Centre, who were a massive part of like helping me do my research. So we met with them and we spoke about the sort of medical side of dementia, but also, you know, yeah, crucially how it affects relationships and how people live with it, as it were. So yeah, they really threw themselves at it. And I think partly because they're just dedicated, amazing professionals, and also because it's a film that really struck them as being something that was potentially greater than the sum of its parts, you know, something that was striving to be important. I think that was one of the things that really chimed with them right from the start, from, you know, from them reading the script. So they were really keen to sort of invest a lot of time in it.
I think it pays off on screen. Of course, it's such a moving experience, and it feels like you're handling this, you know, with such great care. I think that really comes across. Like, it doesn't feel like it's something that's been thrown in for the sake of it. Like, you feel like everybody behind the scenes has really worked hard to make this feel very genuine, both in terms of their relationship, but also the medical side of things. And I think people, audiences, will relate to that, especially if they've gone through anything similar themselves.
Yeah, thanks. That's really kind. Yeah, I think that's the number one thing, really. And I think you have, as a filmmaker, whatever you're doing, I think you have a kind of moral imperative, if you're making a story such as this, to get it right for the people who it affects. You know, you're making a piece of fiction, but it's based on fact and based on real people in many ways. And you owe a duty of service to those people to get it right. And I think that comes across in everything that you do, or at least it should do. And it really did with this. You know, everyone involved was doing it for the right reasons. You know, it wasn't just a job. I think that's like definitely, I think almost everyone that works on the film would say that. It was a bit of a life-changing experience for all of us, I think.
Colin Firth, Stanley Tucci play a couple in this film, and you get the sense that they've been together for a long time, and they're a very like loving, long-term partnership. What did you talk to them about their relationship beforehand? Are you just sort of writer-director who comes up with backstories for people, or did you leave it to them to kind of work out their history?
Well, I mean, I do as a writer, because I think that's a really important part of the process, what certainly is for me. And when I'm acting, I really like to think about backstory and all of that stuff. But not all actors do. And I think it's just about working in whatever way people are most comfortable. So we did and we didn't, is the honest answer. I mean, we talked in fair detail about where this relationship had come from, where they met, what they were doing, you know, what course. But you sort of take from it what's needed, really. And I think, of course, you know, Colin and Stanley have known each other for 20 years. They love each other and they really care for each other hugely, deeply. They've been through a lot together out of work as friends. And that really helps. It really informs the relationship you see on screen. That's not to say that it makes it easier. I don't think it does necessarily all the time, but certainly there's a level of trust there between them that is, you know, is very useful. And the connection they have together as people is sort of palpable, I think.
The film, as well as it being an intimate relationship, it's quite intimately shot. We spend a lot of time in the camper van together. And actually, when you think about it, they're often sharing quite a small bed together as well, whether it be in someone's guest house or in the back of the van. Was it just challenging to shoot when you're using such confined spaces?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. But I mean, deliberately so, really. I mean, we chose, for instance, with the stuff in the camper van, we chose to not change anything in the camper van, really. We didn't put it in a studio and rip it to pieces and put it back together again so that we could put the camera where we wanted. We really worked within the space. We, you know, took a few bits out when we needed to, but the four walls remain the same. And that really helps, you know, working with the incredible Dick Pope as well. That collaboration was, you know, was absolutely beautiful. And I think it helps the actors too. You know, there was no sense at any point in the film that we were like fudging anything or, you know, nothing felt forced or fake. I think that really helps performance. And, you know, working with in those confines is quite liberating sometimes, as well as being naturally quite restrictive. I think restrictions are a good thing often.
I think so. I think, again, it sort of adds to that authenticity to it. Like, it doesn't look like you're using a van on a soundstage, you know, which is cavernous inside like a TARDIS. Like, it does feel like this is the real thing and we're on the road together with them.
Yeah, exactly. And also, you know, making road movies is like that anyway. I mean, like, we didn't have any control over the roads normally or any of the conditions we were making the film in when we were out on the road. You know, Colin was really driving the van on real streets with the public, you know. So I think that, as hair-raising as that was at times, no offense to Colin and his but the DVLA should investigate really his license anyway, but he it really adds to it, you know. You're just there doing it and nothing feels fake, hopefully.
I was going to ask how Colin was driving.
Colin is a brilliant driver. Leave that if you want. You only crashed it once. That's
I'm always impressed when actors are having to do something, you know, like for real as well as act, where whether it's, you know, like chopping vegetables or like doing real cooking, say, or in this case, actually sort of driving. It's kind of wild. In my brain, I can't comprehend doing those two things together.
No, I mean, me too. That just goes to show you how skilled those guys are. And also, you know, of course, at the end of the film, Colin plays the piano live in front of a live audience with virtually no rehearsals, and you know, whilst also acting. I mean, talk about what a legend,
what a package.
What a man.
Cast Colin in your movie and he can do everything. How did you end up shooting where you shot? Did you always have that in mind when writing, or was it more of, say, a logistical thing when pulling the film together? Because it's beautiful landscapes throughout this movie outside of the van they're driving through.
Well, I've got some family that live up in the Lake District. In fact, my uncle is in the film. He lives up there. I was staying with him for quite a long period of time when I was thinking up the idea years ago. And I guess that sort of landscape, or the landscape, always informs my work in general anyway. You know, finding where these characters are going to be placed is like a massive part of the process for me. And I find it really inspiring. And that landscape, of course, is just phenomenally inspiring. So it becomes a big part of the film, as it should do, because I think hopefully the, you know, the way we've shot the landscapes and the way they impact the story is kind of profound at times. It's both, hopefully, it's both gentle and intimate, but also raw and brutal and unforgiving. And I think all of those things are necessary in a story like this. Yeah, for sure.
I think it's sort of, everyone said, you know, like Lake District is known as sort of a good beauty spot, but very few films actually seem to be shot around that way. Maybe more television is.
Yeah.
But it's nice to be able to see it on a big screen.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? Because I thought the same thing when I was sort of putting it together and kind of hope that I'd sort of written it for that landscape and was hoping that we'd be able to shoot there. And then doing a bit of research on it, you sort of realise that actually, yeah, there isn't a huge amount shot there. I'm not really sure why that is. It's not an easy landscape to work in because it is raw and unforgiving. You know, like, it, you know, the mountains are, you know, they don't give two hoots about what film you're making. Let's put it that way. So, you know, the weather's dodgy almost all the time, or at least unpredictable. It's like, it's very difficult to film there. And it was very, very difficult for us most of the time to film there. But it's also well worth it, because what a place to spend some time, apart from anything else.
It definitely pays off, you know, with the finished results. You should be proud of that, even if it was challenging at times.
Thank you.
There's some scenes in this film which are truly devastating in the best possible way. Like, I felt so moved and I was sobbing away whilst watching, which I quite like crying in the cinema. I think that's it always so shows like the film is sort of affecting me in a way. And the guys, I guess, prepare for some of those really big emotional scenes. I'm thinking of the speech, reading out the notes from the dinner table at the gathering.
It's really difficult, that stuff. It always is. We tried to shoot in order, as it were, which I think for an actor, charting a journey through a script is really helpful. So that helps. But I think people definitely work in different ways. We talked about those moments at length way before doing them, and then didn't really talk about them, as far as I remember, when we were leading up to it. I just sort of checked in with the guys to see if they were okay. And then we just got on with it, because I think we just knew that that stuff's really difficult to perform. There's no two ways about it. And to make it look as natural and as heartfelt as it does, it takes some serious skill. And you also have to make sure that the atmosphere on set is exactly right. You know, you don't want to be doing this stuff over and over again. You just want to be getting it right as quickly as possible, really, and getting out again. And I think that was it really for us. We just made sure as a team that we were ready to go and that the actors were comfortable and everyone felt safe and ready to do it. And then we did. I remember writing some of those scenes in the film, like back at my mum's house, whatever, in my bedroom, just really like just crying my eyes out, writing them, to be honest. And I think that's a good thing. I think it made me understand that, like, if I was feeling it at that point, then maybe that was a positive sign. But when we came to shoot them, certainly the scenes at the end of the film, which we shot at the end of the shooting, you know, our schedule, it was really emotive. There was a lot of tears on set, and it was beautiful. It was a beautiful thing to be part of, I think. Yeah.
That sounds like a really smart way to approach it. You don't want to be doing sort of day seven of the same, you know, sort of speech, trying to capture the magic you had early on.
But also, you know, let's be honest, if you're working with people like Colin and Stanley, you don't really need to do that anyway. They're so brilliant at what they do that there wasn't many occasions when, you know, we weren't still doing it on day seven. Yeah.
Come on, guys.
Exactly. Focus, come on.
Was there, you know, shooting on location like this, did you have time in the evenings to unwind and relax, especially after some of those more challenging days?
Yeah, we did. Everyone always says it's making films, but it's true. Making films is incredibly hard and it's insanely intense, and you work usually really, really long days. But we made sure that we didn't push it too much. And we had this really beautiful setup where everyone was living in the same place. Mm-hmm. Colin, Stanley, me, everyone working on the film literally was staying in these kind of, I guess they're called, don't make me, like chalets, like holiday chalets in the middle of nowhere in this little valley in the north of the Lake District, completely cut off from everyone. In fact, it would have been like the perfect COVID film in a way, but it was like pre-COVID, little did we know. And there wasn't really many places to go other than like to cook food in your own little chalet because they're all self-catered, or there was like a central bar restaurant, and we all just hung out every night. I mean, that's the thing. It like I really am such a believer in building a team in that way and making sure that every single person in the film is part of the experience of making the film, like an active part of it. Like everyone's voice should be heard and everyone should feel free to do their best work. And I think if you can engineer that sense of inclusion in a cast and crew, I think you're at least making life easier for everyone. And I think in a way it's your duty to do that. So we had a great time. Stan and Colin had chalets next to each other, and Stan cooked for Colin every night.
Oh, wow.
And me sometimes, and you know, he brought his cocktail kit up and we drank his cocktails. But we did also, the BFI and BBC, if you're listening, we did also work incredibly hard.
This was very much off the clock.
Yeah, very much off the clock, yeah.
Oh, that sounds dreamy. At Picturehouse, this is one of the films we've been really looking forward to playing, you know, whenever it's been safe to reopen and get films back on the big screen. So I'm thrilled that we're finally getting to play it, you know, to an audience in a cinema on the big screen. As cinemas have only just reopened, I wonder if you've had a chance to go back yourself yet, Harry.
I have. Yeah. I have. I've been to see Gunda last night. I saw First Cow 2 days ago, and I saw Fool for Love, the Altman film at the BFI at the weekend. So yeah, I mean, I had a bit of a cinema splurge over the last week, but yeah, it's great. It's just so nice to be back, and I'm really excited about the the release. And I think for a film like this, especially all films, but especially for a film like this that is hopefully about things that are important to people, perhaps especially so in the current climate, that communal experience of watching something projected back at you is doubly important. And it would have been such a shame to have missed out on that opportunity. So I feel really lucky to be able to be doing it.
When you have a film out in cinemas, do you like to go along and, you know, sort of see, you know, watch it with a real life audience or maybe talk to them at a Q&A type thing?
Yeah, I think is that actually is one of the big parts of it for me, much more so than doing interviews, I guess, and talking to press about it in the loveliest possible way. I think I want to try and make films that are in open dialogue with an audience. And I think that is how cinema becomes alive for me as a filmmaker. And the thought of being able to go around and talk to an audience after a screening and hear what they thought, whether they liked or didn't like the experience of watching it, is actually the kick that I get really from making it. And I learn a lot from that process, actually. I hope to sort of make films that allow the audience to be an active, engaged part of the film. And in a way, the film hopefully is as much theirs as it is ours as filmmakers, making films that are kind of, that don't join up all the dots. And I think are open-ended is a gesture that I am really interested in general anyway. You know, you make the film and then it's no longer yours. And that's kind of a beautiful thing, I think.
I think you're right there, and I love having those conversations after a film, you know, whatever I'm watching. But I think something like Supernova lends itself to having quite a meaningful conversation, and I think people will get a lot out of not only watching the film, but, you know, going with some friends and talking about it afterwards as well.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah, I think the film is about really important things and very political things in a way too, and I hope that people do feel able to leave the auditorium and talk about it further. That's sort of the point in a way, I guess.
I'm sure we'll do some gentle sobbing as well.
Yeah, not a dry mask in the house, as someone said.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for talking to us today, Harry, and thank you for Supernova. It's an amazing film and great to actually be playing it in cinemas right now.
Thanks, man. Really nice to talk to you, and I hope everyone has a nice time watching the film.